Welcome back, Chad Hastie Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. Hope you're having a nice Monday morning out there. Should be a pretty nice day. It is opening day, so you know, maybe some of you taking off of work to watch a little bit of baseball on TV. Baseball throughout the day, all day long. And I did get a tweet from an Astros fan who said, "We will have hope after today. Hope that the season just goes by quickly." So that's what Astro fans are looking forward to this season. 770-5790, toll free, 1-800-687-0790. No, that's not Rob Snyder. No, Rob probably hates that I'm talking about the Astros at all right now. That's probably his feelings on that. All right, let's see. We have a lot going on this morning. Coming up at 9:35, Matt Mikowiak, GOP strategist, co-founder of MustReadTexas.com, will be my guest. We'll talk a little Texas political news. But joining me right now, we've got a runoff election, many runoff elections here in the state of Texas, and one of those very important runoff elections for Texas Attorney General Dan Branch joining me right now. Mr. Branch, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Chad. How are you?
Doing well, and hope you're having a nice day, and you're getting geared back up. I don't know if the campaign ever took a day or two off, but it seems as though things are ramping back up for this runoff election.
That's right. 58 days, and want everyone to pay attention to May 27th and the early voting May 19th through the 23rd.
You, on election day, you received about 34% of the vote in a three-way race. How do you get folks to come together and to support you going forward? There are a number of folks right after election day, and you know about this, that were trying to pressure you and also David Dewhurst to drop out of y'all's races, and y'all decided not to do that. So how do you try to build a coalition going forward?
Yeah, that was kind of interesting because several of those people had won their seats in the House where they had come in second in the runoff, and come in second in the primary and then won the runoff. So it was interesting, and it was only a small group, about half the group that had supported Senator Paxton didn't sign the letter, I noticed. So he lost 10 or so members that had supported him that didn't sign the letter, and I think only about 14 did. So, and look, in Texas politics, we wouldn't have Ted Cruz if people dropped out. And I got a lot of support and a lot of editorial support around the state saying, you know, we got to let democracy work. And so, unlike, Representative Hildebrand, who was, I think, within the 50 or 30 votes of, and in a canvass might have lost to Senator Hager with 50.1%. I mean, I think that was a different position. We've got a situation in our race where 56% or more of the voters did not vote for Senator Paxton. And we did about 34%. And we subsequently done a couple of pulse checks in polling since, and we've narrowed this thing. He's dropped 4%. We've gone up about 2%. So we think it's about a 6-7% race at this point, Chad.
Well, how do you convince people to vote for you? Is this race right now being portrayed as a more conservative candidate versus a more moderate Republican? Is that what you have to overcome?
No, I think everyone accepts that. Look, everyone's obviously, it's a Republican primary. I think everyone gets that we're conservative. I've got a record going back to helping President Reagan be reelected in Texas. I was a Goldwater scholar. I've got a long record of whether it's 41 or 43, becoming governor or defending him in Florida in the recap. I've got a long history in Republican politics of working for conservatives and conservative causes. And I've got a long history of on fiscal and social conservative values of carrying the day. In fact, I think the issue is that people are looking for effective conservatives. I think if we don't have effective messengers, people that are capable of delivering the message in a way that we can actually win and actually advance limited government solutions. I think that's what people are looking for in terms of conservatives. But I think in this race, probably more than any of our statewide races, the voters are looking for someone who is qualified, therefore can be effective. So not only do they have a record of being effective in the legislature and not just sitting on the back bench voting no, but actually advancing conservative solutions where we had a majority. And in the case of the next attorney general, this will be the first time, as you know, in 12 years, where we have a chance to vote for a new attorney general. And Greg Abbott's done a fabulous job. He'll be our next governor, in my view. He's served in this position as the longest-serving attorney general in the state's history for 12 years. And so I think they're looking for someone who has been a full-time attorney for three decades, has the highest rating, unlike my opponent, has the highest rating of our profession for ethics and legal ability for over 20 years, that has the ability, is authorized, and shown the record of actually advancing conservative solutions in the United States Supreme Court, which I've done recently in the Hobby Lobby case, and has the authorization and is approved to practice in the Fifth Circuit, which my opponent's not. He's not admitted to the United States Supreme Court, not in the Fifth Circuit. And I've recently stood up for pro-life legislation in the Fifth Circuit, and we won last week, as you know. And I've also stood up and advanced the cause for traditional marriage, filed an amicus brief in the Texas Supreme Court. So I have a record of advancing conservative causes. I have the credentials. My opponent doesn't. I'm a full-time lawyer. I'm not a part-time lawyer. And so I think people are looking for qualifications. I think that's why we have, four Supreme Court justices backing my candidacy, and Ken has none. That's why we have so many of the Abbott senior lieutenants backing my candidacy. We're honored to have so many of his senior lieutenants who took a look at the candidates and know this office and know General Abbott so well that are backing my candidacy. And so many of the Senator Ted Cruz's legal advisors, campaign advisors, 13 of them are backing my candidacy. So I think people are looking for effectiveness as a conservative, Chad, and qualifications as someone who can be an effective fighter and step up into the position of Greg Abbott and continue fighting Eric Holder. My real opponent's not Senator Paxton. My opponent, in my view, is going to be Eric Holder, and this administration is showing everywhere you turn that they're ready to advance their aggressive agenda. I think it's going to get worse, Chad. I think it's going to get worse the next 2 years once we get past the midterms. There is no political break on this administration for the next 2 years.
Visiting with Dan Branch, a candidate for Texas Attorney General, it sounds as though that you are saying that your opponent is not qualified to be Texas Attorney General. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think he would make a long list if this was an interview. I don't think he'd make a long list for one of the deputy positions, let alone for the office of Attorney General.
Visiting with Dan Branch, let me ask you about a story that has continued. It was part of the campaign before the original election date. It was, of course, over abortion, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. This 2005 amendment that you had put forward. There are those who argue that it would have that it hurts your pro-life credentials. In fact, you, the Texas Eagle Forum leader, came out and said that your campaign had put out false statements, that your campaign was trying to rewrite history on the amendment, and that the amendment would have allowed third trimester abortions. Do you agree with that, or what?
No. In fact, but let's take it a step further. How about the head of the largest. Pro-life groups. Look, everyone knows I've got a 100% pro-life record. I hope they know that. And I've been there. Like I said, I've been there most recently advancing and advocating for the constitutionality of House Bill 2. And I was there taking the votes on House Bill 2 and on the sonogram bill. And I got the shout out from Kylie Wright, the head of her organization, one of the other large pro-life organizations in the state, for helping on the sonogram bill. And so there's a whole history of this legislation for the last decade. And what these guys are talking about, you know, at the last minute in an election cycle, as opposed to looking at the whole record, they're trying to talk about one particular bill back in 2005, and I'm happy to talk about it because the language that we put out there is almost identical to what everyone voted for and passed in House Bill 2. And so we were trying to be careful and make it stronger and make sure we could pass constitutional muster so that we can save more of the unborn and that these laws don't get knocked down. It's one of the reasons why we talked about our moment of silence bill, because we did it in a way, working with Ted Cruz, working with Greg Abbott. We've got to craft this legislation in a way that it can, you can win in the federal courts. Like we did last week on House Bill 2. So the precision of the language as a lawyer, that's what our trade is, and that's what I've tried to advance. And again, Joe Poyman with the Texas Alliance for Life, when he was asked, and Chad, remember, Joe endorsed Barry Smitherman. So it's not that, like, he's one of my guys, but what he said was that this was blatantly false, the charges from the Paxton campaign, and that his statement is that I'm pro-life and have always been pro-life during his time in the legislature, and it's sad to see Ken Paxton's campaign misrepresenting Branch's record so egregiously. And he went on to say, in addition to that it was blatantly false, he went on to say that he thought using the unborn to score political points was particularly sad. And so for me, this is just sort of, you know, some mud that side has thrown. And the reality is we have to write these bills carefully. We have to make sure they withstand constitutional muster. And that's what I was doing in 2005. And those exceptions are the things that Ken Paxton and I both voted for, whether it's for talking about the life of the mother or paralysis of the mother or fetal abnormalities. Those are all issues that we've all taken votes on, and those are in there. Some people don't like having any. I get it. But those are in there, and I'll make sure that under the current constitutional framework, that these bills that we pass will actually do their job and save lives.
Visiting with Dan Branch, you can visit his website at danbranch.com. Dan Branch, of course, running in the May 27th Texas runoff for Texas Attorney General. We're about 58 days away or so, 57, 58 days. I'm sure we will visit with you many times throughout the election runoff. Dan Branch, appreciate your time today.
Great. Thank you, Chad. It's so great. I just wanted to mention one thing. We're really fortunate to have your sheriff, Kelly Rowe, come over from the Paxton side and join our team along with the Lubbock Professional Police Association. So grateful to have so much support there in the Hub City.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Have a great day out there. That's Dan Branch running for Texas Attorney General in the May 27th runoff election. I think the big takeaway from that, Dan Branch calling out to Ken Paxton saying that Paxton's not qualified to be Texas Attorney General. I have a suspicion that the Paxton folks will probably respond to that at some point.